Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. We're going to be talking about estrogen in the first half of the show and whether or not you're getting too much estrogen in your body. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about digestion. We're going to be talking with Rosemary Pierce about the GI tract and the underlying causes of inflammation. But before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
Adults who pursue artistic, craft, and social activities may stay mentally sharp longer, a new study suggests. Researchers found older adults involved in these activities, or those who used a computer later in life, were about half as likely to experience mild dementia over the next 4 years. The study could not show these activities actually prevented declines in thinking, but it found the risk was lower among those participating in them. The findings were published in the April 8th online edition of the journal Neurology. A new study of nearly 2 million people suggests those who are overweight or obese in middle age may be less likely to develop dementia than their normal and underweight peers. Overweight and obese people were about 30% less likely to develop dementia 15 years later than people of a healthy weight. Conversely, according to the study authors, underweight people were 34% more likely to develop dementia than those whose weight was normal. However, the retrospective study was only able to show an association between obesity and a reduced risk of dementia, not a cause and effect relationship. The report was published online April 10th in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology. A new report has linked a migraine medication to increased odds of eating disorders in some teens. The drug in question is called topiramate. It's an established migraine drug for adults that was just approved for use in teens in 2014. According to the report authors, appetite reduction and weight loss are common side effects for the drug. It's important to note the report only showed an association between taking the drug and eating disorders. It did not prove the drug can actually cause an eating disorder. The report was published online April 6th in the journal Pediatrics. And finally, although any amount of exercise offers health benefits, a new study suggests rigorous physical activity may be key to boosting longevity. Australian researchers found middle-aged or older people who get at least some high-intensity exercise that makes them sweaty and winded may reduce their chances of dying early by up to 13%. The researchers concluded doctors' recommendations and public health guidelines should encourage participation in some vigorous types of exercise. The study involved more than 204,000 people aged 45 or older who were followed for more than 6 years. Researchers compared those who engaged in only moderate activities like gentle swimming, social tennis, or household chores with people who got some amount of vigorous activities such as jogging, aerobics, or competitive tennis. The death rate for those who said up to 30% of their physical activity was vigorous was 9% lower than those who reported no vigorous activity, and the study authors report the risk of death dropped 13% for those who said more than 30% of their exercise was vigorous. The findings were published online April 3rd in JAMA Internal Medicine.
Thanks for that, Reg. Well, our first guest has been educating people across Canada for the last 30 years. She's written 12 books, including her latest, A Smart Woman's Guide to Hormones. Lorna Vanderhaeghe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So, Lorna, we're talking today about estrogen. And tell us a little bit about estrogen and how it's produced in the body and what it does.
Right. Well, most people think that the sole source of estrogen comes from the ovaries in women, but that's only one source. We make estrogen, both men and women, from our adrenal glands, which are two little glands that sit on top of our kidneys. When we're under a tremendous amount of stress, our estrogen levels go up in both men and women. And when those estrogen levels go up in men, they get beer bellies and breasts and erectile dysfunction. And in women, when their estrogen levels go up, they get weight gain, all kinds of female health conditions like endometriosis, uterine fibroids, ovarian cysts, breast cancer, heavy periods, a whole host of what we call estrogen dominance or estrogen overload conditions.
Well, what is it that makes, estrogen levels go up under stressful conditions?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when we're under stress, the body secretes cortisol from the adrenal glands. And one of cortisol's actions is to give us more estrogen. We're not really sure what the connection is. May have something to do with energy or the flight and fight response that we get from cortisol. But we know that people who are under chronic stress end up with this elevated estrogen problem. Combining that with the fact that we also get estrogens in our food, so commercially produced dairy products and red meat will have estrogen in them. As well, we get estrogens in the form of plant-based estrogens from soy products. And there are estrogens in our cosmetics, and pesticides fit right into your estrogen receptors, just like estrogen made by the body. So pesticides are a really bad influence on increasing estrogen in people.
So if estrogens are causing this weight gain, if they're causing, you know, fibroids in women and weight gain in men and women, what can we do to figure out how we know if we're getting enough estrogen and how we know if we're getting too little estrogen, and how do we reduce that?
Okay, that's another good question. So blood tests for estrogen are completely useless. And that's the reason why the doctor never wants to test estrogen levels. You know, a lot of women will complain that they go to their doctor asking to have their hormones checked, and the doctor really doesn't want to do it. And the doctor doesn't want to do it because a blood test for estrogen shows us nothing. The only true way to test estrogens in the body is through 24-hour urine, where you collect urine for 24 hours and you test it, or in saliva hormone testing, and neither of those are available through our traditional medical system, so you've got to pay for them. But that's fine, because you don't really need to be tested to find out if you have too much estrogen. If you've got excess belly fat, if you're a woman and you have endometriosis, ovarian cysts, fibroids, polyps, lumpy breasts, these are all telling you already that you've got too much estrogen. And a thick uterine lining, which causes heavy periods, is another sign of too much estrogen. And of course, in men, it's that excess belly fat. And when they start to develop, you know, enlarged breasts, that's another sign. So I don't feel we have to be tested, because the body's so good at letting us know when we have too much estrogen. The big thing is, how do we avoid it? How do we treat it? How do we get it back into the normal range, which is really what people care about?
Okay, so first of all, how do we avoid it?
Right. So the very first thing you can do that's going to make a huge impact for you and your family, because remember, too much estrogen is also affecting our kids, mm-hmm. and we're seeing precocious puberty in little kids, and we're seeing little boys that are chubbier than normal and not as aggressive as they would normally be. And so as a result, what we want to do is avoid pesticide-laden foods. It's the reason why I've been telling people to buy organic food whenever they can. You know, when it's on sale, buy it, freeze it, save it, whatever you can do to make sure that you're buying organic food as often as possible. For women, they should really look at their cosmetics. So don't buy things that have parabens in them, because parabens are highly estrogenic. You know, if you have a limited budget, at the minimum, buy organic dairy products, because they're just so full of estrogens. Avoid soy products entirely. And then we have a great nutritional supplement called EstroSmart, which brings your estrogens back into the normal range, helps to detoxify all these bad environmental estrogens that we're exposed to. And for women, they just solve all of those estrogen-dominant conditions. So endometriosis goes into remission, heavy periods disappear, fibroids start to shrink, breast lumps become a problem of the past, and same with ovarian cysts. So we do have a solution in the form of EstroSmart, and men can take it too. Men would take it to keep their testosterone from converting into estrogens as well.
How long is it before people notice a difference when they're taking something like EstroSmart?
Yeah, if you've got a teenager with horrible acne and PMS, or you're a 40-year-old woman who's now dealing with acne again, usually it takes two full menstrual cycles to reverse the problem. And again, it's dose dependent. So, you know, for someone who has a mild problem, they'd take two capsules a day. But somebody who has severe acne would take four capsules a day. I actually developed this product to shrink my own uterine fibroids. And within 60 to 90 days, women start to notice that their periods are normalizing, which is a very first indicator that your fibroids or your polyps are starting to shrink. Mm. It's just such one of those fast-acting, outstanding products that can really make a difference. And, you know, back in 1960, 1 in 20 women developed breast cancer. Today, it's 1 in 8. So we are doing nothing about preventing breast cancer or teaching women about what they can do to prevent breast cancer. And one of our Health Canada claims for EstroSmart is to stop the conversion of the cancer-causing estrogen that's linked to all these estrogen-related cancers. And so EstroSmart is one of those fabulous nutrients that if we got every woman on it from the time she's 12 years old until she dies, I truly believe we would be able to reduce the rates of breast cancer.
Let's talk about the birth control pill, because I know you've talked about this before as being a problem for women and their estrogen levels.
Well, you know, we have a big problem with the birth control pill, mainly because they're using the birth control pill for everything except for contraception. I mean, women are being put on the pill to regulate periods, and we've got 14-year-olds on the pill to treat hormonal acne. And this is a big problem because most people don't realize this, but we have 1 in 6 women today of childbearing years that are infertile. Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're putting 14 and 15-year-olds on the pill to treat their acne, which is a really bad decision to do. And they're not coming off the pill until they're 30. And then they can't get pregnant. And it's mainly because we're shutting off ovulation for 15 years, which is what the pill does. And we're creating a really big problem. The other thing is that the low-dose birth control pill, the low-dose estrogen pill, it's not so low-dose. It contains 7 times the amount of estrogen we'd give to a postmenopausal woman. So there's absolutely nothing low-dose about it. And I call the birth control pill a Band-Aid. It's not going to solve the problem that you have. If you have heavy periods and you go on the pill, when you come off the pill, they're going to be right back again, unless you do something about the cause. And if you have acne and you come off the pill, it's going to come back with a vengeance. And sometimes these things are far, far worse when you stop the pill. So we are really trying to educate women about taking something like EstroSmart to get rid of the acne and solve the problem right at the root and fix those heavy periods so you don't have to go on something like the synthetic birth control pill.
Let's talk about the amount of plastic that we're using and the effects of that on women.
Right. So when we talk about estrogen, you know, you and I sort of talked about the body and how it produces estrogen, but these environmental man-made estrogens are really quite scary because we heard about the BPA in the baby bottles. That was only one type of estrogenic man-made compound. There are thousands of these estrogenic man-made compounds in our cosmetics, in our foods, you know, something as simple as those cash register receipts that you get. Those are loaded with estrogenic compounds. And, you know, the foods that we're consuming that are loaded with estrogens, like the foods that are covered with pesticides and the foods like dairy products and commercially produced meat that are loaded with estrogens, these are all having a very negative impact on our kids and on women and men. And I think all this excess estrogen is what's causing our high rates of hormone-related cancers in men and women.
Lorna, you know, I just want to go back there and just ask, so you're saying that these plastics are causing a problem, but how do we know how much is too much? And how do we know, you know, if it's the plastic or if it's something else like stress that's causing our problems?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything. So, you know, we're never going to be able to get rid of every environmental estrogen out there because they just keep coming up with new ones every single day. So, you know, as a mother of 4 adult children, and I've got 3 teenagers, and I have 8 grandchildren, I'm conscious of what can we do that's within our budget? How can we survive in a world that is bombarded with environmental estrogens? So put things in glass as much as you can. You know, don't use plastics unless you have to. Never, never microwave in them because they release these highly estrogenic ingredients into your food. And, you know, buy organic food or buy local things that aren't sprayed with as many pesticides. Go to this great website. It's for the Environmental Working Group. And they have, every year they test all of our fruits and vegetables for their high level of pesticides. And their recommendation is that a child under the age of 5 shouldn't eat 1 commercial strawberry because of the high load of pesticides in a strawberry. Wow. Just terrible, terrible situation.
We're talking with Lorna Vanderhaeghe. She's the author of A Smart Woman's Guide to Hormones. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can lose weight and get rid of some of that belly fat.